I want to say thank you for your prayer. Thanks to Jay for speaking last week. And thank you for your prayer to get through COVID. People ask me, how was it? And it wasn't easy, and I didn't go to the hospital. So it was somewhere in between. A couple of weeks of weakness and headache and fever, kind of a low-grade fever. But I have to be honest, I think the thing that I dealt with most was discouragement. It was a very discouraging time. And I think there was some spiritual, God was working me over a little bit, just saying, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I want to get that lesson down, to trust him. But I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very grateful that a couple of weeks ago, Nick Campagna spoke, a young man that has been a friend of ours for a lot of years, and appreciate him. And then Jay, kind of at the last minute, when I learned that I couldn't be out, spoke last week. Well, during this time, let's see, I think that was all I was going to say. I just want to say thank you. That light is flickering. If it's bothering, we just turn that back set off. It'll be a little darker for you folks in the back, but I don't want it to be flickering and making it. Yeah, is that okay with you all back there? All right. Yeah, don't fall asleep. Yeah, which that's kind of my job. Actually, it's your job and my job. Today, during this last few weeks and last months, I've been starting through the scriptures again, and I'm in was reading in Deuteronomy while I was sick, and I was just really captivated by Deuteronomy 26. And so we're going to speak there, but I've got some things I want to lead up to that. So if you have your Bible or your phone or however you're going to look at the word this morning, I want you to open to Deuteronomy chapter 26. And Mike, it was really amazing. The three songs that you began with today, this message I called, really, it's the devoted life, okay, or a faithful relationship with God. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants from, you know, from the boys all the way over here to Dennis, for all of us, that we would be devoted to God. And so I'd like to speak about devotion for a few minutes and then get into Deuteronomy chapter 26. What I am grateful for is that the Bible is the living word of God. And it speaks to believers, and you are a believer in Christ. And so the Word of God speaks to you. And you know, some people say, how can the Bible be exciting, all this and that and all these old stories and so on? If the Spirit of God is in you, which the Spirit of God is in you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then the Spirit of God is going to be teaching you. And there is going to be application from the Word of God to your heart as you listen. And I would encourage you, listen for what God is speaking to you from the truth of His Word. Let God's Word speak to you. He wants to do that. He wants to grow us. He wants to deepen us. He wants us to trust Him and have confidence in Him. God wants us to know His purpose for your life while you're living along. And so the devoted life, the faithful relationship with God. Pray with me, and then I'd like to share some. Father, I thank you that you are the comforter. We've talked about all of these families, including Joyce and others, these families in Texas who have gone through such terrible, terrible loss. And Lord, I read two testimonies of two of the little kids who were killed in Texas. And these two families gave thanks and praise to Jesus that their children were now safely home in heaven. And Lord, even though that was just two testimonies, I pray that that is all, or hopefully at least most of the testimonies of these families. Lord, it says that we as Christians grieve, but we grieve with hope. And Lord, so we pray for them again. And then, Lord, I just ask you to speak to us. Thank you for your perfectly revealed and preserved Word of God. Thank you, God, the Holy Spirit, that you live in us. And thank you, Lord, that these truths will make a difference in our lives. And Timothy tells us, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. And that's what we're doing, Lord. We're preaching the word. We're saying it out loud. We're proclaiming the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that it would change our lives for Jesus' sake. Thank you for being here. Thank you that we've been able to worship you in singing. Guide my heart, Lord. Thank you that you, God, the Holy Spirit, fills me. And I pray, Lord, that I would speak truth that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the devoted life. I'd like to just say that all of us are at some state. We're at some condition in our walk with God, right? Wherever you are, how you've been walking, how you've been praying, how you've been trusting, you're at a certain state, a condition with God. And it is called in the Bible a faithful relationship. The faithfulness is God is faithful to you, and he wants you to be faithful to him. So it is a faithful relationship that you have with God. What God deserves and what God wants and what would be the greatest blessing to you is that if you are all in on this relationship. God is all in on his part for you. He wants you to be all in toward him. And he wants that from you. That is devotion. Devotion is vital in all relationships in life. Devotion is also understood as loyalty. There's a loyalty between the partners in the relationship. So if you make a promise to someone and you've committed to do it, you need to be all in, right? You make a promise to somebody, you need to do what? Follow through. You need to do it. You made a promise. If you purchase an item, let's say you purchase it with a credit card, you need to be all in and you need to pay for it. That's a commitment you've made. That's you're committed, you're devoted to doing that kind of thing. If a person gets married, then we covenant before God to be all in. We say those words. We say, God, before God, we're standing there, we're getting married, and we say, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, as long as we both shall live, right? And that is a commitment that you're all in, and that is devotion. That's loyalty. That's what God is asking. That's what God is asking of us. I noted that there was about 100 passages in Scripture where it's referred to that we are the bride of Christ. So God is seen as the husband, the groom, and we are the bride. And this complete, this devoted relationship is that he is devoted to us, and again, we are to be devoted to him. So devotion is our commitment. And by the way, when somebody has made a promise to you, it really makes a difference when they're faithful to carry that out, right? You appreciate faithfulness on the part of the one who made the promise, right? Somebody makes you a promise, it makes a big difference that they follow through. What happens if they don't follow through? That really becomes a big deal in our lives. Following through. So devotion is our commitment. It's our purpose. It's our charge. It's our goal. We strive. We live. We fight for this relationship. Our relationship to God, when we know he's committed to us, when we're committed to him, you guys, that turns into things like joy and blessing and contentment and peace. So if you're missing joy and contentment and peace in your walk with God, It's not that the groom or the husband is being unfaithful. It's that we, the bride, are not being faithful. And so he is faithfully devoted to his commitment. The scripture tells us we need to be faithfully devoted in our part toward him. So much to say. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, it says this: "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." Okay, that's the way he sees you, and that's what you are called to. "Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, God has chosen you." Now, that was written to Israel, the people of Israel. But very similar words are written to us in the New Testament, especially in the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at that right at the end. Okay? In John, 1 John chapter 3, the words of Scripture, John says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are," the Scripture says. It says, "The reason that the world does not know us is that it does not know God. Beloved, we are God's chosen people." And then that continues to go into some other ideas. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says this: "I have," and this is true for all of us if you've trusted Christ, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so we see that it's not only, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ." So I am all in on that part. And then it says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And so we see that God is all in on his part as well. So beginning to talk about Deuteronomy 26, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, our relationship to God the Savior is described, and it is described as a faithful relationship. I said some months ago, I was preaching and I used the word exclusive. You might remember that, but that it is an exclusive relationship between us and God. And by the way, when we get into this Deuteronomy 26, I think it will be more very clear, but you are a follower of Christ. What a treasured position that is to be in. That God, the creator of all things, knows you and loves you and wants you and wants to encourage you and bless you and give you hope. And I have to confess, I'm here living in Somerset and I've got busyness. You guys have busyness? And I've got time to manage and I've got passions and temptations that come into my life. And it is a daily commitment to be exclusive to Christ. It's hard for all of us. But what God says is, God says, "I want you. Yeah, I want the rest of your family too, but I want you, and I want you, and I want you. I want you, and I want to bless you, and I want to give you hope and encouragement, and I want you to know that," God says, "I will," he says this in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? You could quote it with me. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you," he says. What a beautiful gift and truth that God has given to us. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, Jesus declared, and it's an instruction. He says, "Believer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." By the way, that's New Testament. And then in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, it says exactly the same. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, we know that love is action, right? If we go to 1 Corinthians 13, it says love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not envious, and love holds no record of wrongs. So you just see in that that when it says love the Lord your God, it's just not an idea. It's lived out in our lives. Love the Lord your God with the way you live, he is saying to us. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, Moses is instructing Israel, and it says, "And know, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear?" And you could actually replace that with worship. Worship solely. Worship only him. You know, in the Ten Commandments, it says, "You shall make no other gods. You shall not make any idols." So God wants, again, for us to have an exclusive relationship with him. I just want to tell you, Mike, again, those songs that you sang this morning and led us in, they all had this idea of you and I focusing our attention, being devoted on God, devoted to God, and that our worship and praise is of him. Those are beautiful songs. And then in Colossians chapter 3, Paul instructs the believers there. He says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, let me just say this in transition. We were saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. We now live and we're walking, and the Bible says walk worthy unto the Lord, but we know that we sin, and so the scriptures tell us how to deal with that. And so we are saved, but we commit a sin, and we know that we sin regularly, and we know that God's grace, we've been forgiven of all our sin, past, present, and future. But we walk desiring, praying, reading, going to church with the idea, I want to be devoted to my Savior, right? That's what we do. I want to be devoted to my Savior. And so we sin. We say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me for my sin. Thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. This is an Old Testament story, an Old Testament example. And Mike, I'm going to read the whole passage first, and then I'm going to go to these slides. So these slides have a lot of notes mixed up in them. And I'd like to just read it first. If you have a Bible, you have a telephone that you can look up Deuteronomy 26. I'm going to read in the ESV version. That's not everybody's favorite, but it's the one that I'm using now, and it's very similar to New King James, but not quite, and Deuteronomy 26. I'd like to say a couple more words. So the whole picture of the Old Testament is God revealing himself to mankind. God is teaching about his attributes. God is teaching us about his character. God is teaching us his plan for redemption. And so Abraham is chosen in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is a man of faith and trust in God. Abraham is chosen. He has some children, Isaac. He has Ishmael and then Isaac. And then Isaac has Jacob, and then Jacob has 12 sons, and those 12 sons become the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And those 12 sons, out of the line of Judah, down the line, generations later, if you read right through Luke and Matthew, it shows you exactly the connections between all the people, comes Jesus the Christ, born of the tribe of Judah, of the tribe of Benjamin, and here is now the Christ who comes. And it's tracking, the Old Testament is tracking the people of God, and within all those events and stories in the Bible, God declares himself. God shows his purpose. And after Israel has been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, God raises up a man named who? Moses. And Moses delivers the people of God, and God promises the people that he is going to take them into the what? He's going to take them in the promised land. And when you, so that's the Old Testament story, and he does take them into this land called the promised land. And that's a lot of the stories that I've been reading in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and now Joshua. And so you have the distribution of the land. And remember, we're talking about a devoted relationship between God and us. It was that same devotion God wanted in the Old Testament that God wants now. And so I'm going to be kind of relating this Old Testament story to us as Christians now, because God wants us to be devoted to him. So here we are in Deuteronomy 26. I'm just going to read it. It's only 19 verses, takes a couple of minutes to read. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruits of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land. It's like a personal testimony. I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Verse 4, then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. Now, verse 5 starts kind of a history lesson. Deuteronomy 26:5, Moses goes back and he repeats the story. So here it is. And you shall make a response before the Lord your God. And then, quote, a wandering Aramean, that's a man who is, we're talking about Jacob. Jacob was wandering. Jacob had 12 sons. Here we go. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a great nation, a great, mighty, and populous nation. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. You could fill in all the blanks of all that just happened there. You know how God brought Israel out. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first fruits of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you, to you, to your house, to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. Now, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite and the sojourner, the fatherless and the widow, so that they might eat within your towns and be filled, Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion out of my house, and moreover, I have given it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments that you have commanded me, and I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I've not eaten of the tithe while I was in mourning, that means grieving someone, or removed any of it while I was unclean, or offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and I have done to all that you have commanded, according to all that you have commanded me. Look down. Now, this is almost like a prayer at this point where Moses is praying and saying, look down now, God, from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You therefore, and think of the devoted wife at this point, you therefore shall be careful to do them with all your heart. And we're the wife, all of us. Do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules and will obey his voice. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he has promised you, and that you are to keep all the commandments, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he has promised. So God bless your word as we've read it. Now I'm going to go to some notes, and now the words will be up on the screen. And I want to go through this passage, and I may have kind of lost you. Hopefully I didn't. But there are some things that are really specific that I'd like to point out to us. First of all, in Deuteronomy 26, 1, it says this, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it. Here's what I just want to say to you. God is the source of your blessing. He says in this verse to Israel, and it's the same to us in Ephesians 1, when you come into the land, and you know what? Someday we're going to go into the land called heaven by all that he has done and by the promise that he had made. And God had made a promise to the people of Israel, to Moses. So he says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you. By the way, there are other passages of scripture that say, don't get on your high horse and think that you have provided any of this for yourself. Here's what God wants. He wants you to say, God, thank you. Thank you for all that you've given me. Thank you for all that you provided. He did it for Israel. He does it for believers now. So he says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, there's an inheritance. You're going to take possession of it and live in it. So I just wrote, the believer is provided for by God. Just remember, he's the source of everything. He is the resource. You have resources, and he is the source of that. You have received, in this case, land, inheritance, possessions, and you live in this blessing. God alone has provided this for you as he promised. God made a promise, and he kept his promise. The husband made a promise, and he kept his promise. And he says, now that you have come into the land for Israel, now that you have been saved, remember, it's all about him. The devoted husband has done his part. Let me move to the next slide. Then in verse 2, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. I just wrote, you take your first fruits to the place God determines to establish as a testimony so that God has provided as he promised, and all the credit goes to God. So this may be, I'm just going to say this. So God has made all this provision for you. Again, the faithful, devoted husband. And he says, now, respond. Respond. Give. Give praise. Give tangible actions. Respond with a life that says, God, I trust you. God the Father, my God, my husband, I trust you. I will carry out. He wants us to live a life of faith, trusting him. Apply that however you want to. He's saying, I've done my part. Now you do your part. And it's very interesting because he says, take some of what you have and put it in a basket. This is really practical stuff. Take some of what the fruit that has grown out of the ground that I gave you, put it in a basket, take it to the priest, and leave it there. I don't know what God is asking of you, but everything you have is from his hand. I don't know if it's your time that God wants of you. I don't know if it's your resources, your finances that God is asking of you. I don't know if it's your gifts or abilities that God is asking of you. But he says, you have come into the land that I have given you, all of it. Now, take some of that and present it to me. Can you see that? And what is he going to do? The last part of this verse, if I don't get there, the last part of this chapter, it says that he is going to bless you for trusting him. Okay, let's jump to the next verse in this passage. So in verse 3 and 4, and you shall go to the priest who is in the office of that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land and that the Lord swore to our fathers to give. Let me just say with that. So we, as God-following people, this is not about Pioneer Bible Church. This is about you as a follower of God being a faithful, devoted, the bride of Christ, giving of yourself by trusting and a walk of faith, whatever God wants to do with you. And he says in this verse, you go to the priest who is, and you remember the Old Testament, that's how it worked back then. They brought the offerings to the priest, to the temple, and the offerings did. That's how the priests and the Levites ate. People brought grain, people brought lambs, people brought bulls, people brought oil. That's how they ate. And it says, so that the Levites will be cared for, the sojourners, so people, strangers who had come into the land who didn't have a way to make a living yet, and the fatherless and the widow. And you know, it's interesting because James says, what is pure religion and undefiled before God? But to take care of the orphans and the widows and the fatherless in their affliction. That is a wonderful call to the church of some of the areas of ministry that we need to be about. Okay? So very practical things that God is saying. Verse 4, then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord. I wrote, you shall go and declare that it is God who brought you out of the land, who saved you, who keeps you, provides, protects, prepares for you. Here's the personal application. The husband says, and declares and shows he is a faithful giver to you. And our job is to respond in faithfulness to him. And in this passage, it says, and you speak it out loud. You say, I declare that my God is faithful. I declare that he's the one who provided. I declare that he is my Savior. There's a personal testimony of you speaking it out loud about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God built into this passage of Scripture. So I think we can skip the next couple of slides because that's the history unfolding where the story is told, and go to verse 10. So the faithfulness of God is shown as God works with the people Israel, and this is how they're to respond. It's also how we're to respond. Verse 10, and behold, now, this is now the bride's response. This is the faithfulness from us, okay? This is what we're to do with our lives. Now, I will bring the first fruits of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given to me. Lord, I am happy to bring it. Whether it's tithes, whether it's offerings, whether it's time, whether it's gifts, all of that. It says, I bring the first fruits of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given to me. And you, excuse me, that's us. And you shall set it down before the Lord. And look at this, and worship before the Lord. So there is this, now there is this adoration and praise. And what does that declare about you? If you come with adoration and praise, what does that declare about your gratefulness to God? You recognize it. You see it. You trust him. You're walking with him. It's like, God, thank you for all that you have done for me. I am overwhelmed. God, I will respond with a life of faithfulness to you. Verse 11, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, to you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. So my conclusion was, all have received, all give thanks. You do that not just on Sunday when you come to church. You do it on Monday, wherever you are, and Monday night when you go to sleep, and Tuesday morning, and every day of the week. You realize, I have received so much. I have been the recipient of the mercy of God. I have been taken care of by God's grace. And it says, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, to you, to the Levite and the sojourner. And so you respond with worship and rejoicing. Verse 12, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving to the Levite and the sojourner. Just please remember that this truth is not only Old Testament, it is New Testament. That we respond, I know I've said this before, but God's people, we just give. We give our time. We sacrifice our time. You know, every time I think about the work of the church, Mike and Lori this week were up here. They come on Thursday night. They prepare all this music to come and lead us. The Sunday school teachers and the children's church workers spend time during the week preparing these lessons. And then they come to church, and they're not here. They're out in other rooms right now teaching your kids. And this afternoon, when the youth group team comes to be here for our young people, they're giving of their time and their gifts and their abilities to invest in God's people, in his church. It's just the way, it's just what happens. And God's people give, I don't know why I'm always hesitant about this, but God has given everything. And, you know, right now it's too cold in here. I don't know if we could turn the heater, I mean, turn the air conditioner down a little bit. But do you know who pays for the air conditioning here? Do you know who pays for the lights? And who pays our staff? And who takes care of? God does through you. People give. And so people put a check or whatever in the box, and that pays for the work of the ministry. It pays for the missionaries. We have 17 missionaries that we support as a church. Do you know who supports those missionaries? You do. You support Marcelo Gonzalez, and you support Marcos Dos Santos, and you support the Vintons, and you support the Penners, and you support the missionaries that are out there so that they can be provided for. Do you know who puts money in the line item in our budget called benevolence to help people who come and need help with rent and electricity? You do. I do. We all give so that we can be part of that. So it says, in verse 12, it says, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, and by this way, this was a special tithe that was given. There are regular tithes that the Bible talks about, and then there are special gifts that are given. You know, we give special gifts here, like when Angel Tree is coming up, or Samaritan's Purse gift boxes are coming up, or when Vacation Bible School comes up. We give special tithes of time and money and gifts to run those programs. It says, giving it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widows. And I think we could probably do better in some of these areas, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled. I just wrote, this special act of thankful, of giving worship, has four directed recipients. The Bible tells us there are specific areas that he wants us, the church, to be mindful of and to give toward, and they're listed there. Okay, verse 13, then you shall say before the Lord. Now, by the way, the next two or three slides are introspective, okay? When I get my paycheck, I try to make it the first thing that I do to write the check to my giving to Pioneer Bible Church. And then we have a couple other things that we give to. But sometimes I forget. And then I have to, and what God has always said to his people is, you give of the first fruits. You give first. You don't wait until the end to give. If you pay all your bills and wait till the end to give, it's hard to give. If you give the first, which is a step of faith, then you see God provide for other things that are part of your life. And that giving, of course, is up to you, what it is, how much it is, when you give it. But there are some introspective things that God says in this passage. Would you just follow and see if you can just connect with me? It says this, then you shall say before the Lord, the faithful husband has given, the faithful bride now is to give back in return, rejoicing in worship. These phrases, I have removed the sacred portion out of my house. He says, I've removed the sacred portion, the portion that I'm going to give to the Lord. I've removed it. I've taken it out of my regular life and budget, and I've set it aside. I've taken this out. That's the first thing. I've removed the sacred portion. Second, I have given it to the Levite, sojourner, fatherless, and the widow. So you have in mind that you are caring for these others who are in need. The next phrase, I have not transgressed your commandment, nor have I forgotten them. God, I'm keeping these things present in my mind. Verse 14, I have not eaten of the tithe. This is almost kind of a funny one. But back in those days when they were bringing the first fruits, let's say it was a tithe of grain, and you're supposed to bring a certain amount of grain. It says, you have not eaten the tithe. You didn't eat it. You took it out first, and you were going to give it. The next one says, or have I removed any of it while I was unclean? I haven't taken any of it out, and I'm not sure exactly what this means, but I haven't removed it while I was unclean, so that it was not available to give to the Lord. Or have I offered any of it to the dead? And, you know, it's interesting because so many times the people of Israel got distracted by idols. And they were giving things to idols. And God says, don't be distracted by idols. Don't give of your praise to the dead. Give it to God. He says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God. I have done according to all that you have commanded. And by the way, when it gets to that word commanded, sometimes that doesn't settle well with people. But in the New Testament it says, the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome to the people of God. They're given as commands. But if we have a faithful God who's been a faithful husband, and he says, this is your portion, we say, I'm happy to give it, Lord. Faithful, the burdens of the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. Okay. So then, verse 15. Now, the devoted husband is God. Here he is. And this is, as Moses is speaking this, he says, look down. It's a prayer. It's a request. Look down from your holy habitation in heaven, O Lord, and bless these peoples. Bless this people. And I say that to you as a blessing. O Lord, look down, faithful husband, on your people and bless your people. Bless the ground that you have given to us. That's a pretty specific request. You know, sometimes you guys plant a garden and you think, oh, Lord, I pray you bless this garden. That's kind of what Israel was doing, was bless this ground, oh, Lord, that we're planting our crops in. And then he says, as you swore to our fathers a land flowing with milk and honey, God had made the promise that he was giving to the people the promised land, and that it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. And so the people, the bride is saying to the groom, thank you for what you have given to us, and would you bless the ground now as it grows, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then the devoted bride, in verse 16, is us. And I'm putting the bride and groom title in here. It's not in this passage. But I'm just thinking about the idea that the husband and wife are devoted to each other. God is the faithful one, and we're the other faithful partner. It says, this day the Lord your God commands you, do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 17, you have declared today that the Lord is your God. This is an amazing thing. Kenny, your dad did that. He declared today that the Lord is his God. And that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing. I want to declare, God, you're my God. God, you're my Savior. God, you're my faithful husband. You have declared today that the Lord, your God, is God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules and will obey his voice. And then verse 18, the Lord has declared today. And this is what he says about you. This is what he says in the Old Testament. He says similar things in the New Testament. The Lord declared to you today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you are to keep his commandments. It goes back and forth. Verse 19, the devoted husband shows his love and care, and he says, he will set you in And this is a position that you're in praise and in fame and honor, high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he has promised. Now, one quick word about this, and I need to wrap up because my time is gone. But one quick word about this is that it is true that the people of God have a faithful husband, and you are lifted up by the grace of God to be his cherished possession. The other nations that reject God, you know, they're in for judgment. But you are a treasured people. I'd like to show you in the New Testament very quickly, if we can jump to Ephesians 1. And you'll see this. I'm not going to teach these verses. I'm just going to read them. But listen to what Paul says to the Ephesian people and how it relates to Deuteronomy 26. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins or trespasses, according to the richness of his grace. Is that richness? Yes, riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. The last verse, two verses. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And I know there was tons of things in that passage, but you can see the relationship that Israel had with God and that believers now have with God. You can see the faithful husband in our God that we have, and he calls us to be the faithful bride. He doesn't want us to go after other gods and get other things in the way. So that's where you have to be introspective and discerning and say, Lord, am I putting you first? Am I putting you first in that you would be pleased with my life? In summary, God is always the source. Always. God keeps his promise as seen in all biblical history. We respond with thanksgiving and praise in real, tangible ways in life and obedience. We worship and we rejoice with devotion and faithfulness. We declare and we establish God's name, giving testimony of his faithfulness. And there are those verses in this passage that say that we speak it out. We experience the blessing of his faithful relationship, of this faithful relationship to God. He reminds us, and I'll remind you, you are his treasured possession. We are a people holy unto the Lord. The last thought I will leave with you is Joshua 24. And this is a place where people choose. Joshua, the man of God who led the people of Israel, said this in Joshua 24. Now therefore, This is to you and me. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the rivers and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If you determine, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the regions beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And you know these words. And Joshua ended by saying this to the people. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what our faithful God is asking of us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We don't do it perfectly, but it is our intent and our purpose every day. God, we want to be devoted to you. Would you pray with me, and worship team, you can come on up. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you today that you are a faithful, faithful God. You provided for the Old Testament believers, and you provide for the New Testament believers. That's us. You are a faithful husband. Help us to be the faithful bride. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given. We respond in worship. We respond in rejoicing. And we respond in obedience to be faithful. Thank you for your word that teaches us. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here today. We pray, God, that your word speaks and that we have listened. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here. Yes, did you have an announcement? Tell me. Yes. Okay.
PBS meeting is June 14th, so please change your calendars to June 14th.
Okay, so what did I say? Okay. Well, she's right, I'm wrong. So do what she says. June 14th. Let's stand and sing in praise and thanks to God.
My debt is paid.
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love.
Thank you, Mike. Privilege that we have to be in relationship with our God and Savior, the creator of all things. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the fellowship of believers. Thank you for the word. Lord, we want to be the faithful bride. Thank you that your love never gives up. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. What a great promise that is. Lord, we commit to walk with you. Give us strength. Help us encourage one another and pray for one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.